Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Yes. I don't know.
Oh, it's just shaking up a bit, shaking it out, keeping
it
fresh.
Trying to keep it fresh, new, brand new.
I like it. Yeah. Nice.
What's going on? What's going on, Getty?
Well, the world is opening up.
It's opening
People
up.
Are allowed to see each other now.
Yep.
I'm back at work at the boxing gym.
Bam, bam. 1-2, 1-2.
I've had a haircut.
Yes, you have. And it looks very good. It looks lighter. It looks like you can lift
Thank
your
you,
head
sir.
Up now, you know?
I can.
Lift it up
my neck
proud.
Is not in pain. My neck and my back finally don't feel so much like they're being squashed mm-hmm. by a constant heavy weight of hair. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. good. What about you? What's been going on?
I'm going the opposite way in terms of hair. In terms of hair.
Oh, I thought you meant you were locking yourself in.
No.
I've had enough.
No, yeah. The blinds are shut. The door's locked. I'm not going out ever again. I'm trying to grow the hair out. I'm trying to try it. See what it looks like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was only a few weeks ago you were saying to me that you thought you needed a haircut.
No. I've changed my mind. I discovered wax, which does help. Because the whole of lockdown, I knew what that was before, but the whole of lockdown, I haven't been doing it because I was like, what is the point? And then I rediscovered that actually that is literally what styles hair. So I did it the other day. I was like, oh, actually, it's fine. So yeah, I'm gonna try and see where this takes me, this hair journey. See where it ends.
I'm sure the listeners and I are excited to see where it takes you.
Well, I'll post some pics up maybe at the end of the season to see how long it gets.
What, like it's like a
like before after,
like
before.
A gym progression yeah. photos.
Yeah, they're the only progression photos people ever.
Yeah, how hench your hair got.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I'll use really good lighting as well.
One of me
just before bed with like a nightlight, and the next one me standing in the park with the sun. Having just
or
shampooed.
You could go the complete opposite way, and you could have and take photos of yourself, like you know when you go to barbers and you see those generic pictures stuck on the outside.
Oh, yeah,
to show
yeah.
Them. You should do that. Pulling really serious faces with this new hair, like Zoolander.
Yeah. Well, that's probably what they'll look like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh dear. Apart from that, all good. I'm very happy to be out. Like, been to the pub a few times with mates and been to the park, and it's getting warmer. Right? And everyone just seems to be in a better place,
which is nice. It's weird that the weather's doing that really weird thing still, where it's like quite warm. Like today, for example, we're recording on a very sunny day. It's lovely outside, nice and warm. But then at about 8 o'clock, 8:39, it just gets freezing, absolutely freezing.
Yeah, we're not quite there yet, are we?
No,
I see people sitting in Soho, like, you know, past 8 in the pitch black, and I think, yeah, go on, you can do it, because it is bloody cold.
It is.
Anyway, that's the weather. That's the weather, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Back to you, Getty and Tom at the show.
I can't believe we're on pay. I mean, I just trying to continue as if that hasn't happened. We're so far along.
I know the end of the alphabet is coming into sight, and that is, I'll be honest, Tom, I thought we'd get to C.
Maybe D. Yeah.
You know.
I think we both sort of, when we start, it was, you're right, it was that like fifth week, we were both like, oh, actually, this is going to be a long slog. But it's been really good. It's been really fun. We are looking at the prom.
The prom. Prommy prom, prom, prom.
Yes. So we should do this with other... we should just start doing this. So, just to introduce the show a little bit.
Go on then.
So the music was by Matthew Sklar.
Sklar! What a name. Seriously, though, what a name.
The lyrics were by Chad Begelin.
Chad Begelin.
Sorry, everyone, for the pronunciations. Who wrote The Wedding Singer and Elf the Musical together as well.
They did.
The book was by Bob Martin and...
and Chad.
And yeah.
As well.
And Chad as well. Yeah.
That made it sound like we know him. I just think we're both trying to avoid his saying his surname yet again.
I thought I knew it. It's ignorance, really.
Yes. Well, what a name, Matthew Sklar. I must say, I'm not very familiar with their work. I don't really know Elf very much, and I don't know The Wedding Singer at all. Actually,
I saw The Wedding Singer.
Did you? At the Troubadour. Wembley. Whatever it's called, the Wembley Troubadour, yeah.
It was good. I don't think I got it. And maybe the space didn't help, I'm not sure. But I don't think I got it at the time. I didn't realise it was supposed to be like this. I think I went into it with the wrong mindset, whereas now obviously I understand what they're about. But I think I took The Wedding Singer too seriously. And now I've seen that they wrote this, I'm like, oh, right, okay, I get it. You know what I mean? And I think I would go in with a different... But I think I went in kind of... I don't know, take it too, basically, yeah, too seriously.
Yeah.
So I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit on the nose. But that's literally the whole point. So, you know, context and perspective is obviously quite key with shows like this. But yeah, apart from that, I haven't seen Elf really. So, but I really enjoyed this. I thoroughly enjoyed
the
show. I thought it was really good.
Loved it. I love it. And I want it to come here so I can go and watch it many, many times over. I obviously, in terms of having seen it, I think we've both seen the film, haven't we? That came out on Netflix by Ryan Murphy as part of his, what is it, eight title deal that he's doing with them. And I loved it. I remember watching it and just I was just so engrossed in it the whole way through. And it was just, it was incredible. Really enjoyed it.
I've not actually timed this, so we'll see how we get on. I hope it's not too long.
Why? Do you normally practice your plots to the time? Do you normally time?
Well, you know what? I started, in the very beginning, I just improvised them. I didn't write anything down.
Yeah.
And then you started writing them down. I thought that's actually quite good because the listeners do actually need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
So I have now written them down, but I normally time them sometimes. Depends. I think I'm confident with this one. We'll see.
Okay. Well... Shall we see what happens then, shall we? You are going to give us the plot to The Prom. In 3. In 2. In 1. Go!
In small town Indiana, teenage lesbian Emma causes uproar in her local community for wanting to take her closeted and anonymous girlfriend to the prom, the result of which the school PTA cancelled the prom entirely. Upon hearing this, a group of Broadway actors, Dee Dee Allen, Barry Glickman, Trent Oliver and Angie Dickinson, decide to travel to the town to resolve the problem, hoping the PR stunt will boost their crumbling careers. After legal pressure, not the actors' help, the PTA forced the prom to happen. Emma is delighted, but it transpires that she is invited to a prom just for herself, while the other students attend a secret prom, including her girlfriend. Distraught, Emma breaks up with her girlfriend and releases a song to the world about the unfairness of the situation. The actors all try to find a way to make it right. After Barry reconnects with his lost mother, Dee Dee realizes there are other people in the world besides her. Trent helps the other students to see their ignorant ways, and chorus girl Angie finds her spotlight. They finally stage a second chance prom for her in which Emma and her girlfriend openly dance and celebrate their love.
Your face is so serious. You literally, I know that it's a podcast and you can't see it, but if you can honestly imagine in a side that is similar to, as we mentioned earlier, Zoolander, when he looks to the screen with his blue steel, Tom finished the plot and just looked straight at the camera at me with a very serious face on, as if to say, tell me how long that was. Tell me how long that was right now.
I felt like a dog being like, did I do good?
Yeah.
The Mabel guide.
Did I?
The Mabel guide.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you did do good. I liked the plot. I also really enjoyed the sense of the heightened sense of tension as we got towards the end there. With the you went up a few octaves, and your pitch was rising. That you know, you were quickening up the pace. I enjoyed it. Yeah. I feel like I've watched the show, Tom. Well done. I feel like I've watched the show.
That's good. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad.
So you did it in 53 seconds.
That's not bad.
That is
I'll
not
take
bad.
It. The thing That's is. Good. I think you could sum this up in maybe like
a sentence.
I think we said earlier, like, yeah, But there are other things and nuances going on, which are kind of Broadway actors have their arc as well, which kind of gets resolved, which is good.
Yeah, they do. It's you true. Know. They
the
do.
Lines. What did you think of the plot? The story?
Well, I mean, when I first heard of The Prom, I knew when did it come out again? It was like 2019 that it was on Broadway, right? 18 maybe. Can't remember. What was I saying? Oh yeah, when it came out, I knew what it was about. I knew it was about a LGBTQ character who wanted to take their same sex partner to a prom and they wouldn't be allowed and all that kind of stuff. I knew that. I had no idea until recently, i.e. for this podcast, that it was a real thing, that it actually happened.
Mm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it genuinely happened. I did. How awful is that?
Honestly,
how awful
words
that parents could do that to a kid.
Yeah.
It's mad.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Just absolutely crazy.
How could you talk about being bullies? Like, you know, we kind of think, where do some kids get bullying from, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you think, literally from their parents. The parents saying to them, we're going to plan a secret prom.
Oh, mate.
And then leave this girl, and set, I think it was 7 other students, to go to one on their own. Basically saying, you're the rejects. Just disgusting.
Disgusting is the right word. It is genuinely horrendous. I don't understand how humans can be like that. What possesses someone to just think they can treat anyone that alone, as you say, a child. I don't know. I don't know if you had a prom, but I know that the prom scene isn't quite like it is in America over here. So obviously we don't really, we can't properly relate to what that must be like. But obviously we've seen dramatizations of it and I probably spoken to the old American about prom. And it's a massive, massive deal to them. You know, prom is a massive thing. Yeah. It's a proper coming of age thing. And they took that away from someone on the pure basis of the person she fell in love with. And that is just, words cannot even come into my brain to be able to describe how bad that is.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's bad enough that they cancelled the prom because of her sexuality. Mm. But then for me, that's kind of like, I'm not surprised by it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not surprised anymore.
Which is sad, isn't it? It's just sad that it's even not a surprise anymore.
The fact that they then took it a step further to put on this prom separate to her and, you know, manipulate the situation and openly lie to her like that as adults is just, it's like unfathomable behavior. I don't know where you get to in your life where you're like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's such a good point. Where do you?
What happens?
Yeah, what happens to your brain as an adult that you go, yes, I can treat a child this way? Yeah, totally. That makes total
sense.
It's
madness.
It's madness.
So yeah, I think it's good that I think the show does a really good job of taking that story and dramatizing it and adding, you know, for example, I don't know if her girlfriend is the daughter of, you know, the person in charge of the PTA, but I love that kind of addition to make it a bit more dramatic. I love that. I think in the true story, Green Day and some other bands got involved with creating the Second Chance Prom.
I mean, it was really smart, especially when you're making a musical, to make, instead of it being, because you could do it like, we're going to tell this story, dramatize it a bit, keep Green Day, keep Catcora,
yeah,
all these
definitely,
people,
yeah,
and do it. But it was it's very smart to like make it very meta and just make them all Broadway stars who go over and do it.
Yeah,
because you just as storytelling goes, it just opens the doors way more, doesn't it? The scope for what you can achieve or try and do when they are Broadway stars compared to real people is just so much bigger, isn't it? So much bigger.
Yeah, and a part of that is having that juxtaposition between the kind of the Broadway fame and their like egos. And that obviously going against the fact that they're in a small town and this girl, Emma, all she wants is to go to a prom, like that. Whereas, you know, two dreams colliding, one, which is quite, well, to be honest, kind of selfish, kind of self-centered, mm-hmm. wanting to be in the spotlight, and one where she's mm-hmm. she, which is based around love, where she's just like, all I want to do is take my girlfriend to the prom.
Exactly. And ultimately, they, as you say, they deal with them, both of them, very well, to be honest, I think, in the story. You know, the way that they deal with actors with a big ego kind of coming to terms with that and what that means for them in the future of career, and what, you know, essentially it was really, it's just really well done, that they've both affected each other. You know how, like, in a lot of stories you can have like one person affect the other, the A line affect the B line story, but not always the B line affecting the A. It's not really symbiotic or dynamic like that. It's just kind of just one way. I think they do really well to constantly have both storylines like affecting each other.
Yeah.
And then at the end coming together really nicely. I mean, in the film, when Barry like reunites with his mum, like I almost cried. Like, seriously, I almost cried. And I'm not one to cry at films, really, or anything like that. And I like the ending to this genuinely almost got me bawling, like genuinely bawling. Because for lots of reasons, you know. It was just, it's really, I think, well done, yeah.
It's time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called The Ladies Improving Her Knowledge.
Oh, incredible. Incredibly. Look, I'm liking how you, the pause there. I like it. The slight pause. The cadence, as they say, was very well done.
Thank you.
Your comic timing, as ever, Tom, is good. Well,
thanks.
Done.
Yeah. I'm inspired by Steve Coogan. You know, big fan.
Yeah.
Steve, if you're listening.
Steve, yeah. About to say, Steve, if you're listening.
Yeah, so this week's quiz, the scores on the doors. So the last time we did this was Next to Normal. If you haven't listened to that, head on back and have a listen. But this week's quiz,
plug, though.
The thank you. The scores are Getty 21.5, Tom 19.
Ooh,
so close, and it stayed this close for quite some time.
I know, nothing has changed in a few weeks now. Obviously, with the guests, it kind of, you know, the quiz goes on a bit of a pause. But we're starting, as we said earlier, we're getting into the final stretch here. You know, someone's going to have to start planning what they want to go and see.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I think it's getting to the, as Sir Alex Ferguson would say, it's squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
So, Tom, question one.
Uh-huh.
As we know, the show takes place in Indiana. And we also know that it's a real story. So, Tom, my question to you is, in which state did the real event happen?
Well, I've got Mississippi down here.
The reason you have it down there, Tom, is it's the right answer.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, well, thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Lynn. Yeah,
oh, thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
That's
thank
funny. You. I almost asked you that question. But instead, I asked you this.
Oh, what a segue!
We know that it's a true story. We know that it was set in Mississippi. But what?
Well, no. I mean, the real event wasn't just set in Mississippi. I mean, it just happened.
It happened in Mississippi. Yeah, it was all a ploy to make a musical 10 years later. But what was the name of the girl that was banned from prom?
Her name was Constance McMillan.
Obviously that happened. Yes, so it happened in Mississippi at I've written this word down, but I cannot.
It's a wonder.
Actually, thank you. You knew exactly what I was going to struggle with. It's a Wamba Agricultural High School, Fulton, Mississippi, in 2010. Do you remember that happening? Do you remember hearing about this?
I don't remember this happening at all. And hence why. We already know that, though, Tom, because as I said earlier, I didn't even know this was a true story when I was watching the film, let alone
true.
Doing
yeah, but
so
when
I
read
know.
It, when I read it, it jogged something in my memory, and I remember, I think I read about it in NME, because I used to buy those. Remember those? NME?
I do. Did you used to buy NME?
I've got loads, yeah.
Bro, 15-year-old Tom Ling was pretty cool, huh?
He was a cool kid. I was a cool cat.
No, don't say that. That ruins everything. That ruins everything.
Yes. Oh,
cool.
My gosh. Yeah, I could tell.
Cool cats and kittens.
I heard.
cool cats.
Oh, yeah. He was a pretty cool cat.
He was a pretty cool guy. Yeah, I mean, yeah, look. It's as we've already kind of hit upon when we talked about the plot, the fact that this actually happened to this poor young woman. Yeah, I just think, and it is good that, you know, it became part of the cultural zeitgeist, and you had all these celebrities going, like I'm reading here, Ellen DeGeneres invited McMillan to be a guest on her television show, where she presented McMillan with a $30,000 scholarship. You know, Perez Hilton.
Oh, yeah.
Who I imagine is famous. He invited McMillan and guests of her choosing to attend, at his expense, a birthday bash being held for him, and she accepted. So she got to go to his birthday party. It's pretty cool. There you go. What was it? Oh, she was chosen as a grand marshal for the 2010 New York City Gay Pride March, which is pretty amazing.
Amazing. That's cool.
The community coming together, regardless of how like abysmal that it was happening, is it, the positive side of it, as there is always light with dark, a community came together, and not just an LGBTQ community, but others and people essentially with hearts, you know what I mean? And they came together, and they provided what should have been provided in the first place. So, you know, that is a positive out of it, I suppose. And the other positive out of it is that we've got a good fun musical. So here we go. Question number two, Thomas Ling. What happened after a performance of the show on August the 3rd, 2019? That was a Broadway first.
I don't know. There was a. She was invited on stage, and there was a parade. I don't know.
Look. Your sentiment isn't too far off. So the that's wrong.
Great.
But what actually happened was there was Broadway's first known on-stage wedding after the show on August the 3rd, 2019.
Really?
Between a singer and an actress who had recently worked with the show's musical director and a script coordinator on the show. And it was a wedding between two women.
Ah.
How cool is that?
That is very cool. I don't know how I missed that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty big news, Tom.
Well, it's got its heart in the right place. It really does.
It does, doesn't it? It really, really does. And you know what? It's also really good to see a show and a production, like, practicing what they preach.
That's what I mean.
Like,
yeah.
They're there, and they're supporting of a community that they say they're trying to showcase. And that is actually, I still think, fairly rare for things like that, to actually do that, to actually stand up and do the thing they're saying they're doing. I think it's commendable. Okay, my question, please.
Your second question. How much was the investment into the show?
Okay, I know that they didn't get it back. I want to say 13 million.
I mean, it's 13 and a half, so...
There is no way you're not giving it to me. There's when last week it was all 1 million either side. Oh, can we take one either side, please?
That was... That was... What was that? That was...
No,
that was
next
okay,
normal.
That was a list of song... I counted the song titles. And you counted,
and I counted
the country. This is on the page. This literally tells you the number.
Well, we also do half marks, Tom. Just going to say.
Okay, I'll give you a half mark for the half that you missed.
Thank you. I think that's fair.
Yeah, fine. That is fair. I'll take that. That is fair.
Question number three.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the Proms performance at the 2018 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Thanksgiving Day? That is a thing, isn't it? Yeah. 2018 Thanksgiving Day Parade received significant media attention.
Oh, again, I don't know. I know that the original girl came, the girl who played her came back to do it.
Okay. No, this is before, this is like before it's even opened on Broadway, or just as it's opened on Broadway, I think.
I'm going to say that the original cast were there and it was great. I don't know. I thought it would be something to do with, like...
If I was being really kind, I'd give you a half a mark, because that's technically true. I mean, yeah, that is exactly what happened. The original cast turned up.
I was going to say something about, like, I don't know, something happened on the thing.
Well, Tom, the correct answer is that, at the 2018 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the cast of the prom performed It's Time to Dance, at which, at the end, Emma and Alyssa kissed.
Yeah.
And so it was the first ever...
I thought it was that.
The first ever LGBTQ kiss in the parade's broadcasting history.
I thought it was that, because I thought I read that, but then I thought... That can't be. That's why I asked about the year, because I was like, that can't be right. But it was.
You've got to trust your gut, Tom. You've got to trust your gut.
I know. I thought I'd read that. I knew that happened somewhere. I didn't think it was that point. Okay, your final question. Your final question.
Le question finale. Yeah.
Where?
Oh yeah.
Did Ryan Murphy announce plans for the film version? To happen. Where did he announce it?
He announced it after a benefit performance of the show.
Where was the benefit?
What was it, the theatre the show was in?
Yeah. There you go. What's the name of the theatre?
Oh, I see. Oh, the Long Acre Theatre, the Long.
Yeah, there you go. Long Acre Theatre. Ding ding.
Oh, was I right?
Yeah.
Oh, yay.
That's all I needed. Long Acre Theatre.
Oh, I see. That threw me then, because I was like, oh gosh, did he host it in his back garden? He's got a lot of money. Probably could.
No.
Did he host it in his basement? Again, lots of money. Probably could.
No, so...
Did he host it on his private jet? He's got a lot of money. Probably could.
Probably could. Yeah. Yeah. So you have, at the end of that, so you have 24. I've 20 now. 20. You're pulling away.
Oh, I've pulled away. I could get a whole episode of questions wrong and still be in the lead.
You could, and you probably will.
How's that wallet feeling?
Very light. Very light.
It's your idea.
No, I just got... Don't carry cash, do I? It's all card now.
It's true.
An interesting one. Lots to think about. Lots of interesting things happening with this show. Good quiz. What's your favorite song and why?
Well, I can tell you... It was a difficult one for me this week, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It was a difficult one because I had to really think about what it meant to have a favourite song in a show.
Right.
I had to really think about that for this week because when I first listened to it and when I first watched the film, my favourite was It's Time to Dance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was
okay.
Almost entirely rooted in an orchestration decision.
Is that
and basically it was that one,
was the dance break
horn gliss in between each line that makes me love it so much, you know, the bam 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 bam. It's basically for that two beats of music that it's my favorite song.
Right.
I love it.
Okay. Okay.
And also because it opens the show, you know, the because it's incredibly cheesy, and it's like, you know, it's not like very musically complex or mature, but it's just great. It's a really great piece of orchestration that does exactly what it should do. You're at a prom, you're singing the end song to a show that is all about unification, and those two beats of instrumentation make you feel exactly all the things you should be feeling: excited, pumped up. You know what I mean? It's fantastic. Well played, Larry Hockman. But then I listened to it again today, and this week, and just because of the context of the world right now, the song that spoke to me the most was "We Look to You."
We look to you.
I mean, listening to that song on the tube, thinking about where theatre is at the moment, it was just a lovely reminder as to what it is we do and why we do it, and it just made me feel very emotional. And they do something really smart. I think Matthew Sklar does something smart, which is he uses the trope that a lot of musicals use, which is like a lilting, you know, two-time fill, which is like the same as Till Him in The Producers and lots of other kind of pastiche romantic-y songs. There was one thing that he said which really got me, which is when Dee Dee says to him, you know, so you think theatre is a distraction, whatever she says, you know, he says, no, a distraction is momentary, an escape helps you heal. And I was like, wow, yeah, that is exactly what I've been missing. That is exactly what theatre, everyone has been missing without theatre. Because it isn't a distraction. You know, it isn't for people just to go in and forget about their life. You know, they get transported as he sings for the rest of the song. You know, we take actors and shows take these people to separate worlds where they can forget about, you know, it's not just as easy about forgetting that they literally are transported to these idyllic places or these places where they can escape to. And it was very poignant to listen to that at this moment in time.
I walked around London a couple of days ago, and I walked down the Strand, and I honestly was like, seeing all the lights up again, I just like started smiling, because I forgot. It's quite easy to forget what that feeling's like until you go back into theatre land. And I was just like, damn, I just miss this place so much, and I miss seeing all the shows and the excitement in the bars and people queuing up. And you know, especially when I used to catch a train and I catch crowds coming out and the buzz that was there because of the show they'd just seen. And you know, the center of London, especially that area, just feels dead without it. Like, it literally gives the center like a pulse. As well, this show is a good example as well. Like, theater kind of holding a mirror up to you and making you think about your own life and coming away with a message from it. And I think that's what we could all, especially after the year we've had, we could all do with a little bit of that. Speaking of messages and lessons from the show, I would like to tell you my favourite song.
Oh, go on then, Tom.
Which is, of course...
Why do you always say, which is, of course? We don't know yet. So how can it be, of course?
Because people are smart.
Which is, of course.
Love Thy Neighbour.
Love thy neighbor.
I think this song essentially sums up, like, for me, the issues with kind of people who are on a high horse and use religion as a way to kind of justify.
You can say Christians, Tom. It being, won't offend me.
No, but it's not. It's some people that are, even people who aren't. I think people use religion sometimes, you know, to do bad things and just use it as an excuse.
Correct.
And this is what this show, you know, is basically arguing against and trying to, this is what I was talking about holding up the mirror. And I think this song perfectly just kind of sums up the hypocrisy of the entire thing. And the fact that, you know, some of the messages that are in the Bible are problematic nowadays. And, you know, it's okay to keep your faith, but also move with the times. And I think the fact that the Love Thy Neighbor you know, is the title, and also, but he says that that's like the strongest message. I think
well, it is. I mean, that's not made up. There's literally what Jesus says.
Well, there you go.
I mean, we can go into. I could go into a very long and impassioned rant about how I feel about. Specifically Christian hypocrites. But that is 100% what Jesus said.
Every verse starts with a new, you know, rule or whatever, and the way that it builds it up and then just knocks it down, the way it's structured, it does that for every single verse and then hits you with the love thy neighbor every time. And what I also love is how that he angles it towards all the kids that have been bullying her. So that it isn't just like a preachy song to the audience. It actually serves as like a plot device to change the characters, which is great.
Well, yeah, as I said, I can go into long impassioned rant because Christians who say that that is a sin, that like to the Bible, they are right. Yes, homosexual relationships are a sin in the Bible, but then we get into translation issues, which you could then have another completely impassioned rant about. But the issue is then they say that it's a worse sin than anything else that every other human does all the time, which it's not. No sin is worse than any other sin. And you are just as bad if you want to use the Bible like that. It makes no sense. There is no way where these people come out right. There is just absolutely zero way, wherever you look at it, that they are right. So it boggles. I just don't understand who is teaching them this stuff. I don't get where it comes from.
Well, the irony of the song and the why it's so brilliant is because this is exactly what they do to Emma. They pick and choose what they want from the Bible and use it against her.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, okay, I'll just do what you...
Do that to you.
I'll just do that to you. And pull your argument completely apart. And it's funny.
As the kids
it's
say.
It's funny. It's not preachy. Mm-hmm. It's
Yeah, it's not preachy.
It's really just... catchy. It's very Book of Mormon, you know, in that respect, I think.
Yeah, and watching the film when Andrew Rannells does it.
Well, that's
like,
it.
Oh,
that's it.
Book of Mormon.
He does it so, he does it so well. He does that sort of tongue-in-cheek humor so well. It's excellent. I just think it's brilliant. It's such a good and in the film, I think also the choreography and the staging is really great.
Have you watched the behind the scenes making of video of that number?
No, I haven't.
About them doing the choreography. You should. It's interesting. And just going on about the music of the show, it's like we were saying off air, pre-record, we were saying about how, you know, the music's not necessarily I've forgotten the word that I used earlier, but you know, it's not like the best ever songs you're ever going to hear on Broadway or in musical theater history, you know, but that's not the point. They do such a good job of pastiching certain things in certain areas that kind of make the whole thing very meta and very like community led and very much like we're in this Broadway world and Broadway really does help and theater really does help. It's you know, when you hear what song is it, Zazz.
Yeah,
it's just all that jazz.
But
she's talking about Bob Fosse in the song, and she's talking about her time in Chicago. It's very smart to then do that. So, yeah, it's a cool show. It's a cool show musically, and I think they don't pretend to be anything very sophisticated. That's the word. I don't think they pretend to be very sophisticated. I think they're very just aware that this is what it is. It's pastiche. It's you're here for a good time, and we're here to tell a story. And I really appreciate that.
Okay, so now
every
it's
section
time
starts
for...
with okay or so.
So
okay.
Okay.
So.
And now it's
okay.
time for stage frights.
Start with something else. Start with a different thing.
Right. How's that? Right. Now it's time for stage frights. Where you send in your embarrassing stage stories. Now, normally we get somebody on to chat, but we have said to the listeners, you can email in and you can DM us. And one listener, and a dear friend of mine as well, Matthew Armitage, has actually sent in an email, which I'm really excited about.
Ooh, isn't that exciting?
It does mean I'm going to have to read it, which I apologize to everyone, but I've not read it. I've not prepared it because I want to be shocked by it because I have no idea what the story is.
You're gonna have to give us a good sight reading of it then.
Well,
this
yeah,
is like
I know,
a
that's
good,
what I'm saying.
A good practice.
Mm. Okay. I've seen my name in the first sentence, though, so I'm a bit concerned.
Well, he is your friend, so it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, but I don't know how I'm involved in this story.
It'd be a lot weirder if
he wasn't my friend.
It was from someone we'd never met, and your name was in the first sentence.
Be like that Graham Norton red chair thing.
Yeah, it would be. It would be.
It begins. Quite polite, actually. Dear the show, very formal. Thank you for hearing my tale.
Has he put the address up in the top left-hand corner as well and signed it?
Thank you for hearing my tale. Oh, God. He doesn't know this yet, but Thomas J. Ling, that's me, was on the same stage as me when this embarrassment occurred. And this will be the first moment he finds out what happened. Oh, God. Okay. This took place back in 2011 at school. We were cast in the sick form show as fifth years. Right. This was huge for us. We could hang out with the older kids, and there were girls in those years. Our commitment to the arts was finally paying off. Another perk of being involved in this production at school was that we were able to use the teacher's toilet, as we needed access to those facilities during the show. There's nothing quite like a teacher's toilet. Not ruined by the adolescent boys who take pride in destroying the only place in school where they have autonomy. This was a production of Our Country's Good, a story of Royal Marines and convicts in a penal colony in New South Wales. I won't bore you with any more details. I landed the role of ensemble, dressed in loose... Hessian fabric.
Hussein?
Hussein. I just Googled potato sack material and that's what came out. Hussein fabrics. During the show, I would appear and do some mystical movements for some thematic reason. As we all know, we can get a little nervous before going on stage. I was going to wave my arms with enough conviction and help create the right tone for the show. How was I going to do it? Little did I know. That was the least of my problems. I had to make all the correct preparations for the show. I knew my one line and had eaten Wagamama's finest chicken katsu curry with extra curry sauce and green tea. Both are free, by the way. The first scene was a success.
We should say that other East Asian cuisine restaurants are available.
Yeah. The first scene was a success. Maybe the girls in the older years will be noticing me. Before going on to my next scene, I thought I'd better partake in the luxuries of the teacher's toilet. Sat there, I enjoyed the warm, fuzzy feeling of being backstage while the show was on, taking a in a lovely, clean toilet. Where is this going? Oh, my scene is coming up. I finished my business and headed to the wings. Back on stage, it was harder to focus on my movements in the ensemble. Something was different. Something was wrong. I smelt something. Yes.
No.
That's it. Some poor fool had farted on stage. I kept on with the scene, but despite my progress across the stage, up and down, the levels...
No.
The levels, the smell didn't seem to go away. It was almost as if the fart had a constant source. Did something go horribly wrong? I realised what was the problem. There were so many loose same fabrics on me that the rough material must have caught a bit of my poo as I rushed wiping to get on stage on time. I fortunately was on time as the poo was attached to me. As they say, the show must go on. No, we are not sullying.
We're not aligning ourselves to this story at all.
I persevered, knowing that I was the poo carrier. I rushed back to the sacred toilet, checked everywhere. I found the source. It was true. I cleaned and never spoke about it ever again until now. I've managed to in the following production, break the system in the teacher's toilet, permanently banning it for the student use in the future. What, that perfect toilet was the downfall of me. The scarring of this event lives on. This isn't just about the poo. It was the fact I had to study, perform, and review this play many more times. Thank you, Shosho. I can now rest. So we did our country's good for AS level. So we had to go and see it in the Hampstead Theatre and like write a review and everything. So he was probably, haunted by this for...
I feel sick.
For years to come. I mean, that is, talk about embarrassing. I mean, that is pretty, that's probably, that's as bad as it gets, isn't it?
He was carrying poo. In his potato sack trousers. As he did a scene of Our Country's Good.
In front of, all of our parents and friends.
I really, really do feel sick.
Yeah.
That
Gosh,
is...
I was not expecting that. That was intense.
I am not only feeling a bit sick, but also speechless.
Yeah.
He was carrying a poo on stage.
Yeah, apologies to anyone with a bit of a, you know, well, an aversion to that. We have had people,
an aversion to shit.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people wee themselves on stage. But this,
well, he didn't shit himself on stage, did he? That's the thing, that's worse.
Blair, I mean, it was the same fabric. That's what got him. The potato sack.
But how did he not feel it when he was walking up to stay?
Because, like, I mean, how, like, probably, I mean, these sacks are probably quite loose. So.
Clearly.
Well, there you go. That's your stage fright for the week.
Stage fright for the week? That's like a. That'll do. For months.
Yeah.
I
mean, sort of lowered the tone, but in keeping with our school theme, which is good. Which is
pardon the pun, but that's a loose connection there, Tom.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember the toilet being banned because someone broke it. So it's good to be honest, everyone. It's good to own your.
Yeah. Well, as we are taught in the prom, we have to accept one another.
Poo sack and all.
I honestly am genuinely scarred by that story. I don't know.
Well, think about how he feels.
How he must. Yeah, I know.
He had to carry that, pardon the pun, carry that with him for years.
For years. And none of you knew, did you not? Can you not remember?
I swear, I've never. This is the first time I have found. He's never told me this story before. So
wow. Yeah. Well, Matt, thank you for sending that in.
Thank you for being.
I admire the honesty and the. I mean, you could have done it anonymously. So thanks for letting us just completely.
Well, he wants us to plug his podcast, so we're gonna.
Oh, that's why.
We'll tag. If you go on our Instagram, we've tagged his two really good podcasts. One that reviews classic snacks from the 90s and 2000s, and one called Tea Cozy, records lovely sounds in the woods and cups of tea. He started it during lockdown to help people who were feeling lonely, just to give them like some comforting sound. So yeah, check them out. I mean, what an introduction to host of a podcast. So that was the show. As always, please get in touch. Email us at showshowpod@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter and Instagram, show_show_pod. Give us some stage fights, give us some feedback. If you're listening on Apple or any podcast streaming service where you can rate us, please give us a 5-star review. And Thank you for listening. Oh, man, every really week, appreciate you guys listening every
week. I just watch you in awe as you go off on one every week. And it's just, it's delightful. I have to say, it's delightful.
Thanks.
So remember, guys, one thing's universal. Life's no dress rehearsal.
And the Show Pod is out every Sunday.
Well, I've been Tom.
And I've been Geddy.
And that was the prom. Goodbye.
Goodbye.